Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
A 4th of July talk, and I wanted to talk about freedom and why are we so bound with all this talk of freedom and everything. But, you know, this week America turns 238 years old. 238 years old. Now, the same thing for talking about Burt Bacharach or dating us or anything like that. Unfortunately, wasn't it just yesterday we were celebrating the bicentennial and the great masted ships were up there all around Lady Liberty and everything, and that was 38 years ago. How does it fast forward like that? Really so quickly. And I just had my birthday just a couple of weeks ago as well. And so I was going, okay, let me look at my age, divide that by 238 years. And you know, I've been around for 22% of America's independence. That's pretty amazing. So when we think back, and if you just go back a couple generations and bring your grandparents into it, gosh, we've been around for the majority of what our independence was. So anyway, I want to talk about back in 1776, we announced our independence from Great Britain because we were feeling so bound. We were feeling bound by Parliament. We are bound by the king. We are bound by the taxes. Well, it was just a couple of years before that. Did they have the Boston Tea Party? So we announced our freedom. But you know what? The freedom was there all the time. It took something within us to announce that it existed. Now, it just didn't appear overnight, that freedom. But within all the lives of those first colonists, they felt bound and they announced their freedom. So flash forward 238 years. And there are a lot of Americans that still feel bound. It isn't Parliament anymore, it's Congress. It isn't the King anymore, it's the President or the King. It isn't, yes, it is, taxes are still there as well, and we're still feeling bound by them. But once again, in the middle of feeling bound, we have to announce our freedom. We have to stand here and announce it. Some are doing it on a national scale, like in Murrieta, California. Some are announcing their political freedom, while others across the street are announcing their spiritual freedom, and they seem to be clashing at each other. They're actually saying the same thing, but what we're looking at is they're actually saying the same thing, and they think they're clashing, but they're not. But I'm speaking on an individual scale that we need to announce our freedom. I know that it's no one in this room, because if you're coming to this center, you know something better. But we all know somebody who is feeling bound in their circumstances. We all know somebody. They're bound in their bodies. They're bound in their finances. They're bound in their career. They're bound in their lovelessness. They're bound and they can't seem to get out. But it is not until the announcement of independence, it is not until the announcement of freedom that something starts to change in those circumstances. You see, we love as Americans to be in denial. You know what? We deny that we are in this kind of boundness. We run around saying this. I watched the PBS special on there, and it was just interesting how the TV program just went over and over again, showing, you know, bringing up just the old singers and everything, but they barely touched on the servicemen. They touched just a little bit. And so they just kind of glossed over and just jumped right over the wars that we're still in, everything that's going on with us. And so we just love to be in denial that all of this is going on with us. So we've become numb to our boundness. We're bound and we're numb to it. We become numb to our circumstances. We're numb to the bad news and the good news. We're numb by an overload of information and disinformation. So we're numbed and we don't declare. We're just asleep. We're just asleep. And I love the 15th century mystic from India, Kabir, said, "You have slept for millions and millions of years. Why not wake up this morning?" You have slept for millions and millions of years. Why not wake up this morning, July 6th, 2014? Wake up. And I've shared with you before, and I love your example about the elephant with a 12-foot chain, but I've shared with you before about the same thing with a scientist that had a goldfish. And he had a nice little goldfish in a goldfish bowl, and he talked to his goldfish. And you know, always at the pet store, they always tell you, oh, the goldfish, they clean their own bowl. You don't have to ever clean it. Well, that's not true for anybody that's ever owned a goldfish. So the scientist made sure that what he's going to do, I'm going to go ahead and clean up that goldfish bowl. And so what he did is he takes the goldfish bowl and he slowly immerses it in the bathtub so that the bathtub water and the water in the goldfish bowl reach exactly the same temperature and everything like that. And so what he does is he dumps finally the goldfish into the bathtub, and it's a huge bathtub. And he turns away and he washes out the bowl and he comes back. And what does he notice in this huge bathtub? What is the goldfish doing? Swimming in the same small circle that was exactly the size of his fish bowl. Even though he had that infinite amount of freedom to go somewhere, he didn't. Just like he said, conditioned to stay right here. The goldfish conditioned to go here. The elephant to just go on the 12-foot chain. Well, you know, you're not going to want me to compare you to a goldfish and or an elephant. But you know what? We're goldfish and we are elephant. The fish did not declare anything different than it already knew. The elephant did not declare anything that it already knew. It did not announce its freedom. You see, freedom is not a noun, it's a verb. It's something that moves. Freedom is not just something that we have, it is something we must do. Freedom is a verb. We need to do something about it. Freedom existed for those colonists, but they needed to announce it. Freedom exists in you, and you need to announce it. So the person who is bound in their body, they too are in the bathtub, believe it or not, no matter what shape your body is in. If your body is too fat, too skinny, too weak, too sick, you know what? You're just swimming in the circle that you were conditioned in. You're just staying attached to that 12-foot chain. In the midst of that same circle that you're in this very minute, you need to announce freedom from your body. Announce the freedom from your body. You see, you are not your body. We are so impressed with our body. We are so much more. Now, I get up here and I tell you how impressed I am with this. I'm very impressed with it. But you know what? I am not this. I am not this. I am so impressed with the shallow end, though, sometimes I stay down there. I'm conditioned there. I think that this is how I am all the way. I know I'm very impressed with all of that, but you know what? We have to see the deep end. We have to see all the way to the infinite amount of what our body can be and let go of just that small little circle that we're at. So it's the same with your riches and your finances. Guess what? We've conditioned ourselves to live in a small little circle down here. You're swimming down here in the shallow end and not announcing your freedom in the richness of life. Just as you are not your body, guess what? You're not your bank account. Why do we say that? Why do we think that we are a bank account? You're so much more than that. But the minute you see the richness of the entire bathtub as your richness, something starts changing when you recognize that. Financial freedom doesn't occur while you're down in the shallow end looking at what you don't have in your bank account, what you don't have in your 401k, looking at what you don't have in your investments. By looking at all that you don't have, guess what? You're conditioned. And you're swimming down here and all of that. Yet the freedom exists, and you must declare your freedom even though you're down here. Go ahead and get a good vision of yourself and what your finances are, but understand you have the whole bathtub. Understand your 12-foot chain has been cut. We don't have that anymore. What does that look like to me if I let go of that chain? So the same thing for those feeling bound in your career. There were several people that have come up that were in our treatment class that we did for 8 weeks, and we turned the treatment class not into the art of treatment and meditation, but also into masterminding. So not only did we take it very strong and learn what it was to do spiritual mind treatment, affirmative prayer, and what meditation does for us and everything, but at the end of all that, we came to an accountability portion of the class. So all of us in the class gave up something of what it is that we were treating for. So the very next week, we had to come in and talk with the class of what it was that we were treating for, how is it turning out, what's going on. But in that class, it was amazing. There were a few people that were talking about their careers. And in their careers, they felt very bound in their career. Some of them worked for the federal government. And so they were like, I'm only allowed to do this. I'm only allowed to stay down here in this small area down here. And so in Mastermind, we were saying, that's what their definition is of what it is to you, for you to do. Your definition is something greater. Your definition is understanding that you have the whole bathtub to show up where you need to show up down there. So that's what they walked away with, was understanding that. But a lot of people in their careers are swimming in the shallow end and feeling very bound down there. Then love, this is a very touchy topic. Yes, some of us in this room feel bound in love or lack thereof, but you know what? We're only swimming in the shallow end. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. And we need to understand that because it's unlimited, but yet we hold back like, if I let that out, what would somebody think of me if I say I love you to a stranger? What do we risk is what Keith was asking us. So we need to announce love. There's an infinite love of the universe, and announce it in your private life. Declare it in your private life. The freedom to love is there. That is a noun. But you need to verb your love. You need to do something about it. What's the verb aspect of love? What do you need to do in love? If you want more in your love in your life, be more loving. Verb it. Get the activity going. If you want a friend, be a friend. Verb it. So freedom is a verb, not a noun. It's not just because in 1776 did they announce the freedom. They had to do the activity of moving into that freedom. We are so bound in our lives because we don't know this. Yeah, America is land of the free. But then we feel so bound, that is because we are treating it as a noun. Freedom is given, but are you taking it? Are you announcing it? Are you declaring it? Let me tell you a story, and it's a very sad story, and it starts in Georgia. I almost feel a country song coming on. Back in May, we had our primaries. We went out to vote. This is our democracy. People have died for this right to vote. You know, in our 238-year history, how long have women been voting in that 238-year history? Very new. And so just as freedom, I'm saying, is a verb, voting is a verb. You have the right to vote, but until you verbify that and actually go do something, you're not voting. You're not going out there and doing it. You have the freedom to vote, but you actually need to get up and do something about it. Now, I don't like statistics because it's just a fact is what has been done. And, of course, I am always announcing I am not a statistic. I am not a statistic because statistics are measuring all the goldfish swimming down here in this circle. I am more than that. And so I don't want to be even listed in the top percent of the goldfish swimming down here in this circle. So I have to announce I am not a statistic. I am not part of the goldfish bowl that's down there. But the statistics of the voter turnout in Georgia was one of its lowest ever. 19%. 19%. It is something to sneeze about. So what does that mean? If there's 100 people in this room, 19 of you are deciding what the other 81 are going to do. Scary. Very scary. 19 are verbing. 81 are nouning, 19 are doing something and knowing there's a deep end to the bathtub, 81 are swimming in the circle they've always swum in and want to continue to swim in or think that that's their bowl. There is a fish every now and then that sticks his head up, looks down there to the deep end of the bathtub, and says, you know what? Why should I go out and vote? It's not going to make a change. Why do I need to do that? So you're voting by not voting and allowing the other 19% to control the 81%. So they put their head back down and they swim in the shallow end of the bathtub. 81 are swimming in the circle they've always swum in, and they want to continue to swim in it, and they think that's their bowl. I'm just going to go ahead and swim there. 81% feeling bound. In the midst of all their freedom, they are bound. Why? There is no 12-foot chain. There is no small goldfish bowl that's doing that. It is only in their thinking. Only in their thinking. There is nothing keeping Georgians within the state. They are free to drive across the border to Alabama. Well, I take that back. Do you feel bound there too? Maybe to Florida. No, we'll feel bound there too. Maybe to South Carolina. No, we'll feel bound there too. Well, we can drive up to North Carolina. Maybe there's a little bit of freedom up there in the mountains. But what is keeping Georgians bound in their mansions? What is keeping Georgians bound in their shacks? What's keeping Georgians bound in their health care? What is keeping Georgians bound in their traffic? Nothing. There's not a 12-foot chain keeping you here and telling you have to get up tomorrow and go into that traffic. There is nothing that's keeping you there. Only thinking is keeping us bound in the traffic. In the midst of being bound, we have to understand there is freedom, and we have to announce it. While you're sitting in the traffic, you have to announce that there's freedom. It starts with a thought, it moves to a word, it moves into action. That is why it is such a great teaching such as this, the Science of Mind. It teaches freedom. Why even page one of the Science of Mind text, which of course is just 3/4 of a page, has the word written 4 times in it. Now, I was going to read from the book, but mine is just like Reverend Angelo's. Mine has come apart like this because I've gone through this book backwards and forwards, and you can see how it's written in and falling apart at that point. But on page one, there's freedom, and it's written in such a short space. And why is this? Because this is a teaching of freedom. This is a teaching of freedom. It is a teaching about being in the bathtub and knowing that the whole bathtub is yours. It is about being in the midst of the 100% of Georgians and knowing something better. It is a teaching that no matter where you are in life, when you walk through these doors for the very first time, religious science will not leave you where it found you. Religious science will not leave you in the shallow end where it found you. Why is that? Mind, and we're all connected to the one mind, the one universal mind, thought. Page one of the Science of Mind text says this: to suppose that a creative intelligence of the universe would create man in bondage and leave him bound would be to dishonor the creative power which we call God. And let me stop there for a second. I know of a couple who quit coming to this center because this is a cult. It's a cult. Now, there are many different definitions of cult, but I think the main reason is that we spoke of God in a different way than the wife thought we should be talking about God. So we don't say that there is no God here. We actually say it's all God. It's all God. God is swimming in the shallow end. God, the infinite possibility that waits in the deep end. God. It's all God. So I don't think we say there is no God. We just speak of a God in a different way. If that defines us as a cult, then so be it. But here in my heart, I know we are all speaking about the same thing. But I make my God a verb rather than a noun. My God is a movement. My God is not static, as Keith said. My God is present now, not just 2,000 years ago for Jesus, 9,000 years ago for Abraham. My God is present right now. My God is here on West Peachtree and not just in the sky. And now I'm really going to be labeled as a heretic and people are going to walk out. But that's what I want to let you know. Page one continues. To suppose that God could make man as an individual without leaving him to discover himself would to be supposed an impossibility. Individuality must be spontaneous. It can never be automatic. The seed of freedom must be planted in the innermost being of man. Like the prodigal son, man must make the great discovery for himself. And he continues, we see abundance in the universe, the deep end of the bathtub. We cannot count the grains of sand on a single beach. The earth contains untold riches, and the very air is vibrant with power. Why then is man weak, poor, and afraid, swimming in the shallow end? The science of mind deals with these questions. Holmes continues, the divine plan is one of freedom. Bondage is not God ordained. Freedom is the birthright of every living soul. All instinctively feel this. The truth points to freedom under law. Thus, the inherent nature of man is forever seeking to express itself in terms of freedom. Our inherent nature is forever to express itself in terms of freedom, even while we're down here in the shallow end of the bathtub. So that is four times that the word freedom is used in the Science of Mind text in just two paragraphs. Why are we weak, poor, and afraid? Up here. The thinking makes it so. Our knowledge, our individual knowledge. I love how it says the truth points to freedom under law. Freedom is there, but it's the law is the verb part. How do we get that to show up as that way? Let there be light. We need to announce it as a verb. Do that. Before you get to those two paragraphs that have freedom mentioned four times, the top paragraph says this. We all look to the day when science and religion will walk hand in hand through the visible to the invisible. And that actually happened just 2 years ago. I've even given a talk on the Higgs boson, the God particle. Actually, somebody went to Switzerland, and they know I talk about the God particle. And for those of you that don't even know what the God particle looks like, there it is. They brought me back a souvenir knowing that the God particle is there. And so mainly what the God particle is when you finally smash the smallest living thing that we know of right here in the center. Right here, there is nothing. 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 Professor Higgs, 50 years ago, he knew that there was nothing when you finally got to that small size and smashed the atoms that way. It is nothing but pure energy. So scientists had seen the day from the visible to the invisible. They went and saw that that was nothing. But just as Ernest said, the truth points to freedom under law. The Higgs boson is nothing waiting to become something. The Higgs boson is this energy that's right here, and it's awaiting to become something. So, with no charge, no weight, just pure energy, it is waiting for direction. And this is where your mind comes into play. This is where your mind is the creative process of the universe, the creative process of the individual. Your word, just as the Bible says, your word has power. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Higgs boson, what is it called? The God particle. So it's the same thing. So you have this Word out there. So if your word is, I'm not going to vote, nothing ever changes, guess where the Higgs boson goes and gathers up all the energy to gather around that to make that your experience? It will never change. If your word is, I hate my body, there goes the Higgs boson, the God particle, in the direction of your word. If your word is, I can't afford it, that's too expensive, I am poor, you're looking at your world of effect only, you're looking only at the shallow end, you're just announcing what's going on down here in my conditions versus sitting here wondering all the cause of the universe is waiting for me to announce it. The Higgs boson doesn't care that I say, I hate my body. It doesn't care. It just kicks it, and it will give you many reasons to hate your body. So that's why we need to sit here and say, I love myself the way I am. I love myself the way I am. For those of you who have been to Asilomar many times with me, and this has been many years ago, back to the Burke Backcrack days, was I going to Asilomar. I was dancing down the aisles one year singing, I love myself the way I am. We need to understand, we need to say that, because the Higgs boson is just waiting to sit there and say to you what's going on. You're looking at your small ball, and the God particle does not know that you're looking at. It doesn't know that you're saying that. It just reacts according to law. Love points the way. Law makes the way possible, says Ernest Holmes. So now comes the time where I'm going to lose some of you, because you're not going to like it. The Higgs boson law says to me, if you are feeling bound, you use the Higgs boson law perfectly. You kicked that energy in that direction, and you're feeling bound. This is where we lose people in religious science all the time. In other words, the very big quote is, I am first cause to my experience. If my experience is having something go on in my world of effect, feeling bound, I am first cause to that experience. People don't like this. We would rather blame our boss. We'd rather blame our doctor on our body. We would rather blame so many other people. We don't want to sit back and come back and saying that. So, if you're feeling bound in your body, somewhere did you state that your body was bound, and kaboom, there went the Higgs boson gathering all the particles along the way to demonstrate perfectly your bound body. But then you'll say to me, David, I didn't deliberately kick the Higgs boson in that direction. And you're right. I don't sit here and announce the Higgs boson and say, I'm going to have a heart attack, but my world of effect shows up as a heart attack. I didn't say I'm going to get breast cancer, but my world of effect turns up as breast cancer. How does that happen? How does that happen? And you're right. You didn't kick the Higgs boson in that direction. But since you didn't kick it in any direction, because you did not get out and vote, the Higgs boson went in the direction of what the 81% of the people think. What do 81% of the people think about bodies? It goes with the crowd down here at the shallow end. And what is that conscious, race-conscious idea about bodies? Americans are overweight. Americans are sick. Why even watch the evening news? And all those commercials are going to tell you just how sick you are and what drugs you need to have. We didn't even know we needed those drugs. And then they have all these letters for all these things. And we didn't know we had letters for all these diseases. So we're down here, swimming with the 81% with my dry eye disease that I didn't know I had. So since you didn't specifically kick the Higgs boson in the direction of announcing the health of the universe, since you were just kind of like swimming with the group down there, the group associate, they kicked the Higgs boson. And that's what we have is our world of effect. Holmes says the relationship between the individual and the universal is one of reflection. That is, what we image for ourselves, it images for us. What we image for ourselves, it images for us. Then it follows that the very law which creates bondage could as easily create freedom. The divine intends freedom for us, but the very fact that we have creative thought and that we are real individual presupposes the use of our creativeness in more than one way. And if we don't use it, we get race consciousness use. We get what just the 19%, but 81% of the people are sitting here going, I can't make a change, so I'm going to be down there with that. So this is how, in the midst of all this talk of freedom, we're feeling bound. We haven't verbified it. We have used the creative law in the universe in a binding way. But the very good news is the Higgs boson is sitting right there waiting for you to kick it in another direction. The Higgs boson is waiting for you to start a whole new chain of causation to come out in the way that you want it to come out. Holmes says the thing that makes you sick is the thing that makes you well. Whether you kick it this way and become sick, it's the same thing that will sit there and get you well. The thing that makes you sick is the thing that makes you well. The same law is working. Okay, if the same thing that makes me poor must be the thing that makes me rich. You're exactly correct. It's the same law. The thing that makes me stuck at work is the same thing that's going to free me at work. We're just using the law this way or this way. So we become awakened this morning, as Kabir the mystic says, because we slept for millions and millions of years. Why not wake up this morning and understand that? So this summer, I've decided to go ahead and do some summer reading, and I read somewhere, somebody said, a new Meister Eckhart book was out, so I said, good, I want to get the Meister Eckhart book, let me read more on Meister Eckhart. And while I was reading that book, they kept quoting Hildegard of Bingen all the time. I said, let me order that book. So I'm spending my summer reading on the mystics right now, and also, too, I saw in the fall one of the I think it's the Episcopalian Church is offering a seminar on Hildegard of Bingen. So I want to go see that because it's not just what Hildegard said. It's the art, it's the music, it's the opera she wrote, all kind of saying the same thing. And she says we need to become wet and green and moist and juicy. We need to become wet and green and moist and juicy. She brings out an eros aspect of God and uses such words. She wrote to abbots and popes saying they have become dried up. You are dried up and that you have to become wet and green and moist and juicy. So what do you think the Pope says becoming wet and green and moist and juicy? Hildegard said the only sin is drying up. Drying up. That is what's happening to us if we're feeling bound. We're only drying up. We're just drying up. We're staying in the shallow end. We're staying with our 12-foot chains. We're becoming as tense as the trunk of a tree rather than being out on the green growing edges of our becoming, says Hildegard. She reminds us that we need to recognize our powers of co-creation and creativity that are capable of moving us from the stuck places we find ourselves in our lives. So as Americans, we're stuck in our religions. We're stuck in our education. We're stuck in our economics. We're stuck in politics. As Georgians, we're just stuck. Individually, we too are stuck, but something can be done about it. Hildegard says, I am the living and true witness of truth and the speaking and not being silent God. I love this. I am the speaking and not being silent God. Being silent God is swimming with the 81% down here. But I am not going to do that. I am going to announce. Hildegard asks us not to live lukewarmly, but with passion. Living lukewarmly lets you end up in the shallow end. Living lukewarmly is not getting out to vote and allowing race consciousness to dictate your life. Living lukewarmly allows you to dry up and not to become wet and green and moist and juicy. Living lukewarmly is feeling bound. Living lukewarmly is announcing freedom as a noun, but not living it passionately. Right here, there is a place that we can learn to live that way. There is a place within you where your small s self of the individual reaches its completion in the great self of the universe. Your small s self that is down here reaches its completion in the great self of the universe. When you understand this, when you understand that the entire bathtub is mine, the entire bathtub is my freedom, why am I holding on to this? Why am I holding on to that small area? To move from the abiding spatial context of personal identity to a sense of the emergent universe. Each one of us is the emergent universe. That is where freedom lies, is in your understanding that. And guess what? The freedom's been there all the time. Just as when the first colonists set foot on American soil, freedom was there. On Plymouth Rock was freedom. And slowly they built up a wall around themselves. Slowly they allowed the hot water to start getting hotter and hotter. They just stayed in the shallow end of the pool until they realized the walls are getting too high, the water's getting too hot, let me announce my freedom. The freedom was there all the time. So not until they announced it did freedom appear back. Not until they turned freedom from a noun to a verb. They were free, but the water around them was getting hot. The Boston Tea Party had happened because Britain was raising the taxes. Parliament kept tightening the noose around the colonial's throat. And finally, they felt so bound, they announced the freedom that was there all the time. And the same for us. Before you were born was the seed of freedom there. But you too built up walls. We built up walls because of fear. We built up walls from experience. But even within those walls, freedom exists. Right now, in the midst of your life, whether feeling bound or free, feeling that the water is getting hot around you, or that there's a noose around your neck, do you have to understand that there's an emergent universe waiting to come out through you? And there, within you, is freedom. Announce it, declare it, verb it, and it is wet and green and moist and juicy, and it is wonderful, and so are you, and so it is. So we declare our independence this morning by recognizing the whole bathtub, by recognizing the 12-foot chain is cut, by recognizing that there is an infinite universe that every single one of us is an aspect of. An infinite universe full of love, wisdom, joy, creativity, vibrancy, health, creativity. It is all there, and we recognize it. We're the ones that stick up our heads from wherever we are feeling bound, and not only sense that there's something greater out there for us, we verb it, we declare it, we start being more loving in this universe. We start acting in healthy ways. We start in our work being more creative than we've ever done before, where we felt silent and afraid to bring something up to those in charge. We no longer keep silent. We step to the deep end. We announce something greater. We announce the goodness of life that's been there all the time, but we're the ones restricting it. We recognize a law that's awaiting our recognition of it. It's been sitting there all the time. And whether we kick it one way or the other, the law doesn't care. So it is on this day where we have been sleeping for millions and millions of years. This is the day we wake up. This is the morning that we wake up, understanding our importance in the universe. Something great is happening through each one of us. We allow that greatness to come through on this day. The emergent universe is coming through each one of us, and it comes through each one of us uniquely, individually, as each one of us. Some of us love in a different way. Some of us express our health in a different way. Some of us have different jobs. That doesn't matter. We are not judging on any of those positions. What we're understanding is the emergent universe is coming through uniquely, individually, as each one of us. So it is on this day that we let go of the small ideas of ourselves. We let go of where we're feeling bound. And if there's any situation that we're feeling bound this very moment, all that we need to do is to announce, even in how bound I feel, there is freedom. It has been there all the time. And when you step up from that announcement, things start happening. The Higgs boson starts attracting different things to step before you and make your circumstances change. That is how this universal law works. We know it. We give great thanks for this understanding. And when we walk out of these doors in just a few minutes, we will walk out new people because we've stretched our mind to this greater understanding of freedom. Not just something that is announced by our government, but a freedom of something greater. This is the truth for each one of us, and so it is.